We are in Acts chapter 14, verse 24 through 28 is the text that we are going to try to cover tonight. Verse 24. And after they, Paul and Barnabas, had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attala and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. That's God's word, and God's people said, amen. Well, you have a text like this, which, when you read it, there's nothing exciting that seems to be going on. It's almost as if these words were just added for the sake of completing a story. But I do want to remind you that these are the words of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, penned down by Luke for our instruction and for our good and for God's glory. So I don't think any portion of the Word of God should be ignored or glossed over or seen as being unimportant. And so I want us tonight to look at a passage that probably is not going to get preached in most churches and not going to be looked at unless we're going through a particular book, verse by verse, which we are and which we do, and therefore we get a view of Scripture in totality and not just individual bits that are picked out. So, Paul and Barnabas are backtracking. Let me put this up. They're backtracking now. They have gone to Derbe, and now they're returning back through the cities in which they've already preached in and following up on believers who have trusted in Christ. So they get to Derbe, and they're backtracking to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch in Pisidia. And then in our text, they're going back down to Perga, and they'll go over to Attala, and then they will sail back to Antioch, which is the church that sent them to begin with. And so that circuit makes up the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. They have gone in this direction, gone to Cyprus, went to Pamphylia, have gone up here into the regions of the Galatian churches, and now are backtracking and going back to their home church. And as they backtrack, they're doing several things, Luke tells us, with those believers who have believed through the preaching of Paul. They are confirming them, which means they are strengthening them, because all believers need to be made strong in the faith so that they are not tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Say amen. So every believer needs to be strengthened by the Word of God. And then they are exhorted to continue in the faith. And this is important because Paul tells them, Paul doesn't whitewash the Christian experience. He doesn't paint some blessed, wonderful experience of the Christian life, but he tells them that they will experience rough treatment for their faith, and that it is through much tribulation that believers enter into the kingdom of God. So they exhort them to continue in the faith, despite all of the tribulations that will come by being a believer. And then Paul and Barnabas help organize these new converts into churches in these cities. They do this by ordaining elders in each of the churches. They organize the church, and they first add these elders because elders are the faithful teachers of the Word of God, and so that is of primary importance for the sanctification of those believers and for the salvation of those who are still yet to be saved. And then in the text that we're looking at tonight, as they get down to Perga, their first missionary journey is coming to a close. And it is believed that this little circuit that started in Antioch and went to, Cyprus and up to Pamphylia, up to Galatia and then back around, lasted the better part of 2 years. So Paul and Barnabas have been gone for approximately 2 years, and we have been able to travel with them, so to say, as Luke has recorded this journey in the scriptures of what has happened as Paul preached and planted churches in these cities. And so Paul and Barnabas are returning home to Antioch in Syria, not in Pisidia. So let's go back here and let's begin to look at the text. There is part of this journey that remains that Luke gives us details on. So let's look at the remaining of the journey. And it's important that we look at this. Verse 24. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached, they preached the word. They didn't preach politics. They didn't preach their opinions. They preached the word. And they preached it in Perga. And then it says they went down into Attala. And from there they sailed to Antioch. So let's go back here. Do you remember as they passed through what happened at Perga when Paul and Barnabas were going through in this missionary journey? Two things happened, if you'll remember. The first is Paul got sick in Perga, and the sickness limited his stay there. It was an illness contracted here in Perga that causes Paul to move northward and preaches in the Galatian region. And the second thing that happened is it was the time in which John Mark left them before they got there. So there was a sickness in Perga that Paul contracted. There was the abandonment of the ministry by John Mark. So now as Paul and Barnabas retrace their steps back, they stop in Perga and they preach the word there. And I want you to notice the silence that is right here. All that Luke tells us is that when they got to Perga, they preach the word. And there is no details of believers that were saved. There's no details of a church that was planted. Now, I don't want us just to simply run over that because there's something important for us to grasp here. Because what we learn is that there are times and there are places and there are seasons when the proclamation of God's word results in the coming of others to Christ, salvation. And there are other times and places and seasons when the proclamation of God's word results in no one coming to Christ. Say amen. There are times when The word is preached as Paul has preached it in these cities, and there have been those who have been convicted of their sins and given repentance and faith to come to Christ. And here in Perga, that doesn't happen. And in every place that Paul has preached, there were those who came to believe in Christ, both Jews and Gentiles. But here in Perga, and maybe also in Attalia, these were dry and spiritually dead places and people. We don't even see that there's any opposition to Paul in Perga. No opposition, no positive results recorded. There's just simply nothing for Luke to report that happened of any spiritual value in Perga. And I would just remind you that there are Pergas that we run into. There's Pergas in your life. There are times when you will share the word of God and it will be heard and heeded. And there are times when you will share the word of God and it will fall on ears that are deaf to it and nothing comes from it. But Paul is faithful to preach the word. Whether it's received or whether it's not, whether it causes opposition or whether it doesn't, Paul preaches the word of God faithful, whether it is fruitful or whether it is not fruitful. It's the same Paul preaching the same message, but in Perga, it has no results. And I would just remind you that salvation is not up to the man that speaks or up to the message he brings. It is up to the sovereign King to grant life to those whom he wills. Look at number two. Not only the remaining of the journey, but let's look at the return to Antioch. And again, I would just remind you that this is Antioch of Syria, not Antioch in Pisidia. This Antioch is the church. And of course, Luke gives us that understanding here. It is Antioch from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So Antioch here is the church that had commissioned them. Antioch is the church that had sent them and supported them on this missionary journey that has lasted the better part of maybe 2 years. And it is where the Holy Spirit had commanded the church to set Paul and Barnabas aside and send them on this missionary journey for the purpose of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ primarily to the Gentiles. So now they have come back, and they're back to their home church. They're back to their sending church, the one that had commissioned them to go. And the work that they had been called to do, apparently there was some planning involved and some goals involved. And so the work that they were called to do, Luke said, Paul and Barnabas had fulfilled it. So they finished the work that the Lord had commissioned them to do, and they had done the work well. Say amen. The church had committed these missionaries to the grace of God, had supported them in prayer, and had trusted the Lord to extend the work of His church through them to the Gentiles. In fact, I think that the Lord had answered their prayers and the task given to these apostles has been fulfilled. Now, I want to emphasize this. The work was completed, and the work was completed well. Antioch here is, I think, a place where these missionaries come back to rest. And they can rest from their labors because they're done. Say amen. We don't rest until we're done. Until the work is completed, until the work that God has called us has been fulfilled, there is no rest. But when the work is done, then we go home and rest. Say amen. But only after the work they have been called to do is completed. And I would remind you tonight that there is a work that all of us have been called to do. Say amen. And let us do it all, and let us do it all well. Let us fulfill the task that we have been given, and let us do it well, and let us not rest until we get home. Say amen. They did the work in places where there was much fruit, and they did the work in places where there was no fruit. But they did the work. Say amen. They did the work when they were appreciated. They did the work when they were accepted. And they did the work when they were rejected and opposed. Say amen. They did the work when everything was going well. They did the work when they were persecuted. They did the work when people loved them. And they did the work when people hated them. It wasn't about the reception to the work. It was that they were called with a task by the Spirit of God to a work to do, and they did the work. And they left the results and the responses to the Lord. They did the work, they did it well, and they came and they rested when the work was finished. And the problem that we often have is because is we're given a task, but there are hardships that go with that task. There are divisions, there are persecutions, there are things that cause us to think about quitting. There was a person that I know who was doing a ministry in the church until somebody made a comment about what they were doing. And when that person heard that comment, a derogatory comment, they quit. Listen, the victory is not to those who start. The victory is to those who finish. That is what Jesus said in His Word. Jesus said, "He who stands firm to the end will be saved." Say amen. So whatever work God has given us, let us complete the work, and let us complete the work doing it well. Say amen. God's work is worth doing well. Say amen. And God's work is worth doing even when we are opposed and persecuted. Say amen. Let's look at number 3, the report to the church. So these missionaries have been sent by the church at Antioch. They have gone for 2 years preaching the gospel, seeing souls saved, seeing souls not saved, being opposed, being rejected, being loved, being accepted, being persecuted. And then they come back to Antioch and they deliver the report to the church of all that has happened. Now, notice how Luke puts this, "And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed," they told all, not some of it, not part of it, but how much? All of it. And I'm supposing this took several times of gathering together to tell them all of it, but notice they told them all that God had done with them. And how He, God, had opened the door, not just to preach the word, but had opened the door of the hearts of these Gentiles to receive faith, to place in Christ in these Gentiles. So when they were come back, the church gathered. Do you think that they had to go out and beg these believers in the church in Antioch to come and hear Paul and Barnabas? I don't think so. And they told all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. So the entire church at Antioch comes because the entire church at Antioch was involved in the sending out of Paul and Barnabas. Say amen. And they told them everything. They didn't leave anything out. They told them all that God had done with them. Now understand that. They take no credit. They take no glory. What happened, happened because God had done it. And He had done it with them and through them. So they told all that God had done, the highs and the lows, the good things, the bad things, the disappointments and the victories, the discouragements and the conversions. And I'm thinking that Paul told them about his being stoned and nearly dying. Or maybe dying if you go that route. Paul and Barnabas don't take one bit of credit. He doesn't take credit for the good. He doesn't receive sympathy for the stoning. They give God all the glory for everything. Say amen. And here's what we do. We give God the glory for the good, and we give the devil the credit for the bad. No, God did it all. Say amen. And they reported all that God had done with them and how God had opened the door of faith. And so it was the glory of God that they were reporting to the church. It wasn't what they did, but they told the story of what God had done. And Paul doesn't boast in himself. Barnabas doesn't boast in himself. They boast in the Lord. Say amen. Paul was content to give God the glory alone for all that had been accomplished because Paul knew it was the Lord who had indeed accomplished these things and not them. It was indeed what the Lord did through them. And I do think Paul meant everything, the good, the suffering, the success, the persecution, the open hearts, the closed hearts. I think he said we came back to Perga and we preached the same word the same way and nothing happened. God was doing all of that. And Paul gives glory to God for his suffering as well. Now here's what I want us to glean from this. Here's what we need to understand. Are you listening? God can do everything He desires to do without my or your contribution or involvement. Say amen. In other words, God doesn't need us. He can get done what He wants to be done without us. Say amen. So our contribution and our involvement doesn't mean that God can do it. God can do everything without our contribution and involvement. But here's the key. Our involvement and our contribution can do nothing without the power and the grace of God. So could God have done the exact same things without Paul and Barnabas? Absolutely. But Paul and Barnabas could have done nothing without God. Say amen. The Lord can do whatever He chooses to do with whomever He chooses to do it with. And it will be good. And it will be best, and it will give Him glory. Say amen. I am at the point where we need to understand that if God should do something without us or replace us, it will be done better. And whether we consider it to be good or prosperous or bad or whatever, it is God who is doing it. Give glory to God for His protection. Give God the glory for even the stoning and the persecution too. Because it was God who had done the healings, right? It was God who killed that crippled man, yes. It was God who caused those to believe, yes. It was God who caused Paul to be stoned, yes. You see, there were times when God saved many, and then in Perga, He saved no one. That is recorded. That is God's authority and right to do. God can do whatever God deems to be good to do. Paul told them all that. And we should be willing for God to use us any way that He deems to be best, even if it means that we are persecuted and that we suffer, so that only He gets the glory because only He has accomplished it all. The Lord had opened the door for the gospel of God and the salvation of these Gentiles. It wasn't the oracle skills of Paul. It wasn't anything in Paul. It was the Lord who opened the door that faith may be given to these Gentiles to come and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine being a member of the church at Antioch there that day, gathered that day, hearing the details of what God had miraculously done through the servants Paul and Barnabas in saving of the Gentiles to the glory of God? That would have been an amazing time. Amen? And it was story after story of what God had done. And then the Bible says in verse 28, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Why did they stay for a long time? Right? Well, because I think they loved them. Say amen. They loved the people of the church. I think because there was so much to tell. And I think because the church itself, the people of the church, were interested in hearing and learning what God had done. By sending Paul and Barnabas on this journey, the entirety of the church were connected and involved in what God had done through them. Now, I want to add something here, and I just want to preface it by saying these are my thoughts as I look at Scripture. I think in this text we have a pattern given to us as a church in how missionaries should be sent. Say amen. I don't know if you've thought about this, but I've thought about this for many years and waded through scriptures to try to get the answer. Because I think the way that we send missionaries from North America is not the way missionaries were sent in the Bible. And I think the Bible's got it right. Say amen. Now, so let's walk through this. There are two missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, sent out by how many churches? One. Missionaries here are sent out by one church. It is the church at Antioch. So these missionaries don't go from church to church trying to get support. Say amen. They are commissioned and they are sent by this one single church. Yes? That's what the scripture says. And these two men that they have sent are not strangers, right? Paul and Barnabas were active in the church at Antioch. So they're not strangers who they don't know. They're not strangers who come by one Wednesday night and preach a good message and the church knows very little about them. The church knew much about Paul and much about Barnabas. So that when they sent them, they could trust them. Say amen. So the church knew these men. They had seen their service. They had seen their faithfulness. And these two men do not need to gain more support from other churches while they're on the field. You don't see Paul going so far and then taking a furlough, coming back to gain more support so that they could go further on the missionary journey. No, they got a commission from this particular church. They went sent by this church and did the work. Do you see that? And when they returned after 2 years, they don't go around reporting to all of the churches that had been supporting them with $25 a month, that hardly knew them, that probably had forgotten that they even took them on as missionaries, that hadn't been following or praying for them. But they come back and they report to how many churches? One. The church that sent them. The church that knew them. The church that loved them. The church that was interested in them. Say amen. And I think that's how biblical missions is biblically to be accomplished. One church sends a missionary or missionaries from that church whom they know, whom they love, who have been commissioned by the church to go and preach the gospel and plant and establish churches. And once they finish the work they have been commissioned to do, then come back and share what God has done in those places so that we may rejoice in whatever involvement we had. I do not see that a missionary is to be a career missionary in one place. I don't find it in Scripture. And you can and may disagree, but it seems to me the Scriptures point to this being the pattern that the work of a missionary was to be done. The church had committed these missionaries to the grace of God, had supported them in prayer because they knew them, trusted the Lord to extend His church through their work. And guess what the apostles do when they come back? What do they do? What do you think they do? What are they doing here in Antioch for such a long time? You know what they're doing? They're doing what they did before they left. Say amen. They were teaching and preaching in the local church, in the church in Antioch, while they regained their strength. They just didn't sit by rocking in rockers. They didn't spend a year or so raising support for their next journey. They resumed serving the saints at the church at Antioch. And it is thought by most that they remain here in the church at Antioch for over a year till their next commission. I think that's the way missions are to be done. Now I want you to imagine. I'm going to pull a name, okay? Let me say Sorrel. Sorrel feels a call to the mission field, and the church, let's say that we say, okay, this is where we feel after fasting and praying that God would have us to be involved in the preaching of the word and the planting of churches, and we send Sorrel. And we support him fully, whatever he needs. Now, we would only send Sorrel because we know Sorrel. We know that he has been active in the church. He's been teaching in the church. He understands theology. So we trust him to send him out to preach the right theology, to plant churches, and say that he fulfills that commission, comes back in a couple of years. And he just sort of fits right back into the scheme of the church, right? He goes back serving the saints and doing those things. Are you with me? But let's suppose Sorrel and Kendra, and let's say there's a little Sorrel. Let's just say, right? We get a letter that says, we're in desperate situations. They have thrown us out of our home. And we're now looking for a new home, but it's going to be so much more money. Now, we who love him and his wife and his child, that grabs our hearts. Say amen. And so we quickly get the extra money and get it sent to him. Say amen. Now, if sorrow has went to so-and-so church in Arizona, and they get the letter, they don't know sorrow. They don't know if sorrow's being truthful or not. But we know sorrow. We love sorrow. And we do what we need to do to help. Do you see how that all works together to be a much more cohesive reality? Say amen. I think that's what we're to do. And I think that if God were ever to call someone here out of this church to the mission field, I would recommend that we do exactly that for that person. I would recommend that we take all of our missionary money and put it on that one person who we send out on a trip, and then when they come back, they just fit right back into the church. Say amen. I could be wrong there, but after much thought and prayer, that's where I fall, given the light that I have. So that little piece of text wasn't all empty. It has some fullness for us to look at as well. Amen? Let's pray.